Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He has so many wonderful things to say to his dear people. He loves you. God loves us all so much. He loves us so much, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe on him will live forever and have everlasting life and not die. Now, I know I quoted it a little different, but the concept of living forever and not dying, God doesn't want us to die. He never wanted man to die. He tried to help man avoid death. But man was curious, and he chose the opposite way of God. And whenever people choose the opposite way, they're going to have the opposite results. Men are geared to experiment. You know, the proverb said that God made man, Ecclesiastes said God made man right, but he went after many experiments. Things that look good to him, he will do. Things that he desires the most, he will gravitate towards. Every desire has its own form of gravity. It's got a gravity. That's why people get enticed. They're trapped by desire. And the way to not be tempted is to kill the temptation. But why would a person do that if they think it's good? And why would God say it's to avoid it if it is good? It's not good. That's the only reason God said don't do it. It will take you somewhere. It'll take you for a ride you don't want to go on. That's the problem with sin. It looks good, but it's not. It's got fine print. It's just like a document. Lawyers can draw up a document and then they put fine. It ought to be illegal. Fine print should be illegal. No honest court should honor fine print. That's a step in the direction of deception. God don't do fine print. He tell you to your face what's right or wrong, and you choose what you're going to do. There's no deception in him. So why do people feel like God is trying to deceive them somewhere? Where does that originate? God never, ever used deception against us. He's wise. He won't give information to the wicked, but he wants to hear their prayers. He'll tell, you know, as a minister, when I minister to people, the Lord regulates what I say. People that have a good and honest heart, God give me more revelation for them. that can help them come out of that problem. People that are more devious, the Lord give me limited speech for them because he knows the condition of their heart, but there's no deception. Sometimes I have to warn people of their way. Warning people is not popular. But people have gotten themselves in trouble. They have drifted somewhere in life. In some ways, they may be doing fine. They may be on the road to recovery. In other ways, they're still weak. And the Lord knows how to minister to people. He gives us what we can handle. He gives us knowledge and wisdom to help us out as we can receive it. And he's patient. He loves you. Your heart is like a small candle burning. And the more it burns, the more devoted you are. And the Lord will nurture the flame that you have. He loves you. He's not out to get you. He didn't give up on us. Understand well, when you study the Old Testament, every war was against Christ because there were antichrist people. Every war ever. The ultimate goal was Satan was trying to stop the progress of life. Even when people were not fighting Israel, people were trying to take what others possessed and rape their women and spoil them and take all their goods and make slaves out of people. That's not God's heart. That's Satan. That's what happened when people run with temptation. That's what they become. They become predators. And the sex trafficking problem we have, that's because somebody watched pornography too long. They got enticed. And then they got a passion that they'll never control. And then they went wicked. This is why God made hell. Sin is ever progressive to the negative. It's ever progressive to the negative. And when you start down that road, you get worse and worse. We look at time, a lifetime of a man, 70 to 120 years, 95 on average. Nowadays, some people do well to make it to 70. This is a lifetime. And see, the reason God cut our time down is because people developed so wicked. The earth wouldn't have survived. The people, he would have had to destroy everybody if he continued to let men live over 900 years old. See, the oldest man died in 969. Adam didn't make a day. A day to God is 1,000 years. Adam died at the age of 930 years. That's a long time to us. Those are just moments to God. A day to you. You see your son get born in the at midnight, and then by 12 o'clock he's grown. That's how it is to God. You see a man born. Just imagine. Your son is born, he grows up in one day, and before the day is over, he dies. Well, our life is 10% of what Adam lived. 10%, 70, 95 years old. You get born at 5 o'clock and then you die at 6 o'clock. You're a grown man. That's how it is to God. Now, to us, the day is 24-hour period. God made that clear. A day to us is a 24-hour period. The evening and the morning were the first day. So, he divided the night, 24-hour points of time. But to God, a day is 1,000 years. So he had to cut our time down, because when you study Genesis chapter 6, men had become so wicked that all their thoughts was only evil continually. They had spiraled down so far, God had to flood the earth, and he only found one man that was righteous. And not that he was perfect, but he was undefiled by the things that they were doing. He didn't have the angel hybrid DNA that made men more wicked than they already were. It wasn't just the wicked angels that made men wicked. This is men's wills. So the Lord had to destroy everything. And thank God for Moses. He did everything God told him. He built the ark before he saw any rain. This was faith, folks. It took faith to get us out of this problem. And the Lord repopulated the earth. So sin would take you for a ride. And now, the reason I'm bringing all this up, last time we were studying about the real Jesus. Jesus is about to return. And you want to know the real Jesus. Not the rendition that people portray him as. Because they see, the reason we need to preach all of God's word and not dance around part, the preachers dance around, people don't have faith for it. And Satan is getting over on us. In the seminaries, this is a big, big, big fat lie that Satan started a long time ago. Because people wanted to control the church instead of follow God. He said the power the miracles, healing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, went out with the apostles. A lot of wonderful men of God that I admire teach this. There's no scripture for it. So that's what a doctrine of the devil. And it came through seducing spirits. It seems good. When you study, it's a twist of the scripture. When you study 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, he said tongues will cease. It didn't cease yet because we still need it. Prophecy will cease, but we still need it now more than ever. It wouldn't make sense for it to cease. Think. God wouldn't take away something that's helping us. We still need healing. If you get cancer, don't you want God to heal you so you can raise your watch your grandchildren grow and get married and finish watching your children grow and give them the guidance, give your daughters and sons the guidance they need? They need you to be here. That's why God provided it. But people detour it because of desire. What were they desiring? Fame and fortune. They didn't want to look bad before the people. See, if people come to you to get healed and you can't heal them, you feel like you look bad. That, you don't have to be embarrassed. If you're not skilled at something, you're just not skilled. Learn and grow. There's a lot of things I wish I could do or I desire to do and I don't know how to do it. But as I grow, I learn and do better. That's all I can do. That's all that can be expected of me. And if I can't do it, God got somebody else that can. I'm not embarrassed on my failures, things that I don't know how to do. I can't say God stopped just because I don't know how. That's not being honest to God. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. Newlivingletters.com. Always remember that website because it's useful. These broadcasts and many others are on there. And I'm going to go back into scriptures. But we need the handiwork of God. We need to look at the real Jesus. Go back and study what Jesus said. He's not the same one that people portray. The Lord is good, and he thinks of everything. He's wise. He's not like the preachers. He's not like the Jesus that people portray. Read everything he said several times. And you can't get to know God if you don't know what he said. The only way you're going to get to know God for yourself is to hear what he said and do what he said. You learn, faith will form in you based on what he said. Faith will form in you based on what he said. When he talked. But if I tell you all the good things Jesus did and left out all the rebukes that he gave, you'll have a partial understanding and you'll go on it because you will have faith for the way I said it. Only the parts that you heard that were true, that's where your faith will come from. And your life will be unbalanced because you won't have faith for the other thing. You have to have faith that the things that God said about hell, and also you have to have faith in the things that God said about heaven. You have to have faith in the dangerous things, in the word of God where God warned us of the dangers. You have to have faith in that. And you have to have faith in the gifts that God gave you. You have to have faith in that so you can receive it. You only have faith where you receive God's word. That's easy to understand. Children can understand this. Like the Geico commercial said, a caveman can do it. Anybody. God made it easy so the simple and the wise together can hear his word, believe it. Hearing his word forms faith in you if you receive it. Wrong information keeps us from receiving the word of God. So when you study what Jesus said and the rebukes, you have to mix faith with it. In Matthew, last time we looked at Matthew chapter 23. On the radio portion, we won't have time again, but we looked at Matthew 23. He talked about the Pharisees. They were hypocrites. He pointed that out several ways. This is so we could avoid being like them. He loves us. He's not trying to rob you. He's trying to bless you. God builds on a foundation. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added. God's not going to leave something out of your life that you need. And God will not do you wrong. He cannot, because he don't sin. If Jesus would have sinned, we wouldn't have a qualified Savior. But he loved God and he didn't sin. And he can't sin because he's God. You can't sin with the love of God in your heart after you've been born again. See, if you get born again, you believe on Jesus Christ, you have a Savior. Hear me good. And when it comes to keeping the law, you can't break the law when you have the love of God in you. When you have his, when you have faith in his word and the love of God in your heart, you cannot sin. People don't go in God's presence and worship him and love his people and desire to do people good and then go rob a bank. It cannot happen. You have to have some hate in your heart to do that, to take what don't belong to you. And if you do have that kind of hatred in your heart, get it out. Start to love God. And go where you'll be strong and strengthened. And as you get stronger and stronger, you're going to do better and better. We develop into righteousness. We were made righteous, and we can choose to stay walking in the path of righteousness and avoid the things that bring us down. The Lord thinks of everything. When he made a redemption plan, he made a redemption plan to get us out of the misery. See, the world system is nothing but the lies of Satan. But they are deadly. They persuade you and entice you out there. And when you get in that water, it's hard to get out on your own. Some people, they start sinning, and they go down that path and they realize they can't control it and they want out. And when they look over and see people living for God, they go the direction of God. And the Lord helps them out. When you see the light of the word of God's word revealed to you, a strength comes upon you or within you. A strength develops within you, which is called faith. And by your faith, you can overcome all the strengths of the world system. And when the Lord sees you struggling to get out of that spider's web, he will cut you out by the anointing. Preachers preaching the word so that you can have faith in it. And when you're doing all that you, when you're trying to get out and you're yearning to do what's right. Hear me good. Your desire to do what's right attracts the Lord to you. And the Lord comes to help you. And as you're believing him, he operates and he works things out. Your faith overcomes the ranks of Satan. What are the ranks of Satan? They are the soldiers that he has, the demons that he uses to entice you into the world. All the deception. See, deception, when people believe deception, they believe a rendition of the truth, not the real truth. Just a part of it. Satan will use truth as bait so that it won't repel your conscience. He knows that people have a conscience. They have a desire towards God. So he soothes you with that. But there's a little evil in there. Something in the milk's not clean. Now, I've used these analogies, water and spider's web and milk, to show you these examples. People can put poison in chocolate milk. They can put poison in and you can't taste it because of the chocolate. But it'll still hurt you. Now, the sticky spider web of the world, he makes it look pretty. But when you start messing with it, it's sticky. It's hard to get out. This is why he uses deception. But if you heard the word and stood on it and agreed with it and wanted more of it, all his power won't work. He uses your strength against you, not his. He don't punch you in the face with his strength. He seduces you to reject the things of life. He entices you to trap you with your own desire. And you walk with your own legs towards what he's offering you, and you eat from it, or you touch it, or you get involved with it, and then it gets inside. The desire to do wrong grows. And some people, they don't want to lose what they've gained. They might steal an ink pen, but next time it's something more. A pack of ink pens. And then it's a dollar here, a dollar there, a little time here, a little time there. And we do these things. I mean, it's you start a habit, and that's why habits are hard to break. Your habit system can get saved, just like you got saved. Your life is saved in Christ. You can conform your habit system to the things of God. Just live according to integrity. Don't steal an ink pen. Don't steal time from your job. If you come back late, pay for it. Stay over late. Do something come back early the next day. You got to put it back until your life is back to balance. Do what's right. Temptation is out there. Women are beautiful. Men are handsome. That's how it's supposed to be, because God is good. But remember this. You don't need them. When you're married, enjoy your own wife. But you don't need nobody. If you're complete in Christ, you don't need anybody else to complete you. We don't want to live with or depart from the people we love. That's not what I'm talking about. God gave you your companion to enjoy life. God is good that way. He thinks of everything. Nurture your own relationship with your own wife or your own husband, if you're a woman, and your wife if you're a man. You have to put it, people want to say two men can marry or two women. That's not of God. That's because people have spiraled down away from the things of God. Nobody's born wrong. If you're a man, be a man. If you're a woman, be a woman. If you feel tempted with the opposite sex, go to God and talk about it. And he can help you make it right. He can help you. Nothing's too hard for God. I heard a testimony. A girl she grew up in a Christian home. And she was expected to get married. So she got married. She married her best friend. The man she married, they were friends. They grew up together. And they got married. But she said she was more attracted to his mother than him. And then she got so tired of having those desires that she said, "Lord, either take this from me or take me to heaven." And all of that form of lust went away, and she was attracted to her husband. This really happened. See, Satan will give you a thought. Just because Satan give you a thought, that don't mean it's you. Go to God and talk to him. God created you in his image. If your desires don't line up with the word of God, go to God and talk to him about it. Study the word and stand on the word. Sometimes you have to believe God for the promises of what is right so that you can do it. A temptation can be so overbearing, and I understand and sympathize with people. I know what it's like to be tempted. But that don't mean you're on the right road. I've been tempted, and I knew it was not of God. So I went to God and said, Lord, teach me how to kill the temptation. And you know who helped me? The real Jesus helped me. The real Jesus helped me understand. I studied what he said. I got to know the real Jesus, not the rendition. If I tried to live by the rendition of what ministers say Jesus said, I would still have my troubles. I killed those temptations back in 1988. I was surprised at how easy life became when the Lord taught me how to don't feel fallen. He taught me to love people. Actually, he taught me the first thing, to love the people I was tempted with. Don't see them as an object, see them as a person, a sister. And I prayed, I said, Lord, I want to see every woman on this earth beside my wife as Joan, Gail, and Karen, my sisters. I love my sisters. So I love the women that was flirting. And then I prayed for them. You know, the best man in my, Terrence Givens was my best man when I first got married. And he said, if you ever feel tempted, don't just pray for yourself, pray for the woman too. So I took it a step farther. He learned this from Elder Lewis. Set me free. It works. I learned to take authority over Satan. And that's the originator of the deception and the enticement and the temptation. And I said, Satan, you can't tempt me with her, and you can't tempt her with me. And it's like it just evaporated. All the temptation, I got stronger. My love for God got stronger. And I kept studying the word, I got stronger. But the temptations lasted until the Lord taught me not to fear falling. See, I had a fear of falling. I thought I was going to fall. I thought I was going to fall away, start doing wrong. And as long as I feared that crap, it was real. It seemed like I might fall. Sometimes preachers don't like to say what really happened because it's embarrassing. Well, this is how it is. Well, you know, it is embarrassing to say you was tempted, to admit that you were tempted. But guess what? Everybody gets tempted. And God called me to be a minister, an apostle. Now, I didn't know I was an apostle back then. But I knew I had the responsibility of living right and doing right. Because I'm a Christian, not just a preacher.